West Georgia's first news for your Tuesday from the News Talk 1330 FM 106.3 Newsroom. Well, hours after a number of local governments issued emergency orders on Monday calling for social distancing requirements, banning public gatherings of more than 10 people, and limiting local restaurants to provide takeout items only, no inside dining, Georgia Governor Brian Kemp issuing a number of similar orders statewide. He also authorized the State Department of Public Health to close any business or other institution, such as churches, that do not limit crowds to no more than 10 people unless they can maintain a 6-foot distance at all times. When discussing the new resolution on Monday, Carroll County Commission Chairman Michelle Morgan stating social distancing works, and the sooner we abide by these instructions, the quicker this threat will be over and the economic impact will not go on for months and months.
Yes, it's going to be bad for some businesses, for some families. I mean, we're all facing disappointments with proms being canceled, graduations, weddings. But I think if we all come together united and take extreme precautions now, we will not let this go on for months and months. As detrimental it is to some, it could be worse if Carroll County citizens do not start taking these warnings and measures to heart.
Meanwhile, Tanner Hospital officials on Monday say at this time they're doing okay when it comes to health workers' personal protective equipment, that being N95 masks and disposable masks, but they don't know how long that will last. In an effort to preserve the life of PPEs, Tanner officials are working with the Southeastern Quilt and Textile Museum in Carrollton and West Georgia Quilters Guild on the Sewing Masks for Heroes project, which is seeking 3,500 washable face masks made out of 100% cotton fabric. Director of Volunteer Resources at Tanner Health System, Jeanette Wheeler, talked with WLBB Radio on Monday.
These masks are being designed so that they could be worn over the N95 for protection, but also to just help to preserve the integrity of those. We put out the request to develop a prototype, and we did that on Friday. And once that prototype was approved by our infectious disease specialists in our nursing department, we put out the call on Facebook and have had an overwhelming response.
And if you would like to help, visit the Southeastern Quilt and Textile Museum Facebook page for more detailed information on the approved pattern, supplies, and drop-off locations. Carrollton City Schools on Monday. Superintendent Dr. Mark Albert is talking to social media to answer a number of questions local parents may have regarding a number of key dates in the school calendar and if any of these days that are being missed will have to be made up.
Right now we've moved prom to Saturday, May 9th. That will be held at UWG, and we're hoping that we can have a traditional prom. As far as graduation and other dates, we are hopeful that we will be able to keep our schedule with all those events. And at this time, I want to speak to the students at Carrollton City Schools. You really need to take this at-home learning seriously, and many of you are, but we need to complete the work because it's going to have a lot to do with the decision of our school board and our administration on whether we make up days or not.
Albert is encouraging parents and students to practice structured schedules during this break. The administration of the University of West Georgia's 8th president, Dr. Brendan Kelly, officially beginning on Monday. Kelly was named president by the Board of Regents in December of 2019, having previously served as the chancellor of the University of South Carolina Upstate in Spartanburg, South Carolina. Kelly's tenure beginning in uncertain times amid the coronavirus outbreak, during which UWG has suspended instruction until March 29th and is reformatting all of its courses to online delivery for the remainder of the spring semester. Well, we knew it was only a matter of time before we were going to hear about a fight over toilet paper. A 25-year-old Carrollton man facing aggravated assault charges after police say he cut his 19-year-old neighbor with a box cutter, causing injury to his neck and arm. That incident happened after the suspect had borrowed a roll of toilet paper from his neighbor at around 2:45 in the morning. The victim telling Carroll County deputies that Marcellus Farley had come to his residence, asked for a roll of toilet paper. He said he gave Farley a roll and Farley mumbled something to him. He said he asked what he said. Then Farley spit on him and a fight ensued. He says Farley pulled out a yellow and black box cutter and cut him on the right arm and on the left side of his neck and face. The victim was transported to Tanner Carrollton Medical Center by his mother for treatment of non-life-threatening injuries. Farley was charged with aggravated assault, and he made a bond this week of $10,000. A significant birthday forced to remain a little low-key this year as Carrollton-based Southwire celebrated 70 years as a company on Monday, March 23rd, 1950. Southwire was founded by Roy Richards Sr. The organization started making wire and cable with just 12 employees and three machines. Today, Southwire employs 7,500, and while maintaining its roots here in West Georgia, has grown into an internationally recognized organization with employees located in more than 40 cities in the U.S. and seven countries around the world. With social distancing orders in effect, local funeral homes are hoping not to deprive friends and family members of those who passed that final moment to say goodbye. Funeral director at Hightower Family Funeral Homes in Carrollton, Bryant Hightower, recently featured in a Washington Post article where he says his business is allowing families to record services with plans to replay them in the same chapel after the crisis abates, giving friends and family a chance to gather and watch, quote, just like it's happening live. He said he is also offering to live stream services. We do have a number of listeners in East Alabama who count on us for information for the coronavirus from the Yellowhammer State. So for that, we turn to Jim Morgan with sister station Alabama 810 WCKA in Jacksonville.
Monday morning, Dr. Jeff Ryan of the Jacksonville State University Task Force talked to Rick Sisk and Roger Allen on the morning show and offered this advice to everyone.
Well, just do everything you can to comply with what our governor and our local leaders are encouraging us to do, which is to stay home. I know that's difficult, but it's a time to get some relaxation and reconnect with your family. Find different ways to reach out to people by electronic means. The more we do this, the more we can flatten the curve and we can keep the burden down on the medical facilities in our region.
And in Cleburne County, the Sheriff's Department says, faced with the unprecedented situation that they're all experiencing during this pandemic, their office is taking the recommendation from the Alabama Sheriff's Association that no pistol permits will be issued or renewed until the quarantine is lifted. They're also notifying all their officers that an expired pistol license is not to be enforced as such during this time. Meanwhile, in Alabama, the number of cases continues to grow as 196 have now tested positive, while Calhoun County now has two cases. Cleburne County is at zero. Still, there are no deaths in Alabama. Reporting from Calhoun County, Alabama, for Graddick Communications, I'm Jim Morgan.
And in the News Talk 1330 FM 106.3 Newsroom, I'm Colin Worthington.